earth, and sky.
And one woman said to me while I was speaking with her, she said, locusts are now our beef. This particular quote I thought was a really powerful illustration of kind of the importance of natural resources as part of the safety net, as part of the coping strategies of households that have experienced the loss of an adult.
You're listening to sociologist Lori Hunter. She studies the connections between population, health, and environment. Hunter spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about her work in South Africa, the epicenter of the HIV/AIDS pandemic.
So you've been studying the connection between deaths from AIDS and the dependence on the environment. And why did you want to study that? And why do you think it's important?
Sure. My broader interests are in natural resources and rural livelihoods, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. You just simply cannot understand really most anything going on in rural South Africa without first getting a handle on HIV/AIDS, because it's just such a tremendously powerful force shaping so many dimensions of individual lives.
How did you start to understand that?
So we've been zooming in on households that have experienced the loss of an adult household member, specifically to HIV/AIDS. And we are exploring kind of their use of natural resources, especially as contrasted to households that have experienced a different kind of mortality, and then also households that have experienced no mortality at all.
And why is it important to understand the link between mortality and dependence on the environment?
Households in this study site, like so many different parts of rural Africa and elsewhere in the world for that matter, are so dependent on the very local environment. Nearly 100% of households make regular use, just as an example, of local spinaches that are collected from the wildlands just around the villages. One thing we were wondering is the potential for natural resources to kind of substitute, if you will, for goods that may have been purchased previously. And I'll give you an example. So whereas households may have perhaps had income from a breadwinner and used that income to buy groceries from a market, which is typically quite remote, or, roadside stands, if they lose the breadwinner to HIV/AIDS, we were wondering if then they're more likely to make more dietary use of local resources. So as an example, be more reliant on wild spinaches.
I'm just wondering how do you study or separate deaths from other causes from deaths from HIV/AIDS? Is there a difference between how their families might use resources no matter what the breadwinner died from?
HIV/AIDS impacted households, given the protracted length of illness that often occurs, in a way have time to kind of create coping strategies, which is it's so sad to think about. Whereas households impacted by kind of unpredictable forms of mortality find themselves especially vulnerable because they've not been able to really develop those coping strategies. And we've not explored that particular sort of hypothesis specifically, but that's what we're thinking.
So can you tell me why are you worried about the environment and the impacts that these deaths might have?
If households are so dependent upon the state of the local environment, it makes sense to be concerned about the state of the local environment because as it perhaps is used at unsustainable levels or households or a particular village experiences a drought year or kind of the variability of rainfall, it very much impacts the resources that these households are making use of on a day-to-day basis. So a definite factor shaping household well-being.
But if people have always been using natural resources in these traditional kinds of ways for cooking or cleaning, why is there suddenly a need for a discussion on the sustainability of this?
The one issue relates to population pressures. So as village size increases, there's additional pressure on local resources. And then this idea that Resource use has become intensified or may become intensified as households lose these breadwinners and so are no longer able to purchase substitutes.
So what are these households becoming vulnerable to?
Sure. There's less natural material available for local diets, so they become more vulnerable to food insecurity, is the term often used in the literature. Another is the availability of local resources to be used as opportunities to create livelihoods. So as I mentioned, households might make brooms to take to market. Households may create wooden utensils made from locally harvested wood. So as those kinds of resources dwindle, opportunities for the generation of those kind of livelihood strategies also dwindle. In addition to the surveys that we undertake, we've done qualitative in-depth interviews with households that have experienced the loss due to HIV/AIDS of an adult household member. And one woman said to me while I was speaking with her, I wanted to try to better understand how it is that they're making use of wild resources now after the mortality. And she said, locusts are now our beef, which is a very clear substitution. This particular quote I thought was a really powerful illustration of kind of the importance of natural resources as part of the safety net, as part of the coping strategies of households that have experienced the loss of an adult.
So what would you say the urgency of the situation is? Like, what really needs to happen to both be saving lives and the environment?
Well, sadly, the region where I work has a very high prevalence of HIV/AIDS. The adult prevalence is in the low 20%. So approximately, you know, 1 in 5, if you think of it that way, adults are HIV positive. This question of the ways in which HIV/AIDS and environment are linked is not one that has been well explored in, you know, amongst the research community. So I think thinking really broadly about the different implications and the different ways in which the pandemic is shaping day-to-day life is very important.
That was Lori Hunter, Associate Professor of Sociology and Environmental Studies at the University of Colorado at Boulder. Dr. Hunter has also generously given her time to EarthSky's Global Science Advisory Council. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, just visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Joel Block, and you're listening to EarthSky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.